Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, Indy 500 results, a lance blowing in LeBron's ear. There's just so much more to talk about this week. Have you ever had another guy blow in your ear, Coach?
Joe, it might have been you. You might have blown in my ear one time, mistakenly in a movie theater. I don't know. But, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about whether Lance Stephenson was – what he did was competitive, not competitive, right or wrong. Did he go too far? We'll talk about that later on in the show as we talk about the Pacers. We'll talk about how the Spurs and Oklahoma City – dominate the home court situation. That series is so odd. If you were on the road, chances are you're going to get beat by 20 in that series as the Spurs came up with a huge win at home to take a 3-2 lead after Oklahoma City had a blowout win to tie things up at 2-2. Of course, we got Major League Baseball going on. We've got one team who has already advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll tell you who that is later in the show. The Clippers, big sale, big sale. Talk about a sterling deal. Sterling, yep. Donald Sterling, whether he's competent or not, whether he's good or bad, his $18 million investment looks like it's going to reward him over a 30-year period of basically $2 billion. So that's phenomenal. And we've got IU starting their NCAA run to Omaha. They'll have their first game in the NCAA tournament. By the way, folks, that's in Bloomington. That regional is taking place in Bloomington, and the Hoosiers will take the mound at, I believe, 7 o'clock Eastern tonight. So many things that we will be talking about, from flopping fines to blowing in someone's ear, and trying to get the best out of it. If, for Lance Stephenson, it worked pretty well. High school baseball, high school tennis. And, Joe, before we take our first break, I am going to just give you the floor because I know you're dying to talk about. Folks, if there's one thing Joe likes to talk about more than himself, it's his kids, and he has reason to talk about that. His son and his relay team did advance to the IHSA, which is the Indiana High School State Track Tournament field. And so I'm going to just release the floor to Joe and let him go on and on and on. But let's remember, Joe didn't do this. His son did. Joe, congratulations to Reed and his 4x4 teammates. And you go ahead and take the floor. It's all yours.
Well, Coach, I'm not as enthusiastic as I usually would be because it was kind of a late night. It was a little celebrating last night. They did pull off the 4x400 victory. They really gutted it out. Zach Wood at the end showed great heart, probably about 25 yards behind, going into the last 200 yards and beat the Evansville Memorial kid right at the end. And it was fun to watch, but. Another little tidbit that not a whole lot of people know is Reed finished third in the 300 hurdles and beat the school record and is going to state in that as well. So I would talk more about it, but we'll wait until next week and see how he does there. You know, I told him, let's not get too excited now. Let's stay competitive. So, you know, Coach, that's what I told him.
So
he didn't listen to me anyway.
What about any other teams from Jasper and individuals that they took?
Jasper didn't, but Tyler Haas, great kid from Du Bois, won the the shot put, and I can't, gosh, I apologize, Broniker, I can't remember his first name, from Forsberg got second in the shot put. He's going to state. We've got Cody Thompson. I think he might be a four-time regional champion, if I'm not mistaken. Going back to state, he won the high jump. Other than that, Hubers from Perry Central and Malone from Tell City are going also to the state as well in the hurdles. Actually the 1-2-3 finish in the hurdles was actually from the Jasper sectional. So, and now we know that sectional was why it was so competitive and it's a shame someone had to lose. Reed, and it's all about time. Reed didn't get second by 0.5 seconds, but went to state, got third instead of fourth by 0.02 seconds. So it's all bang bang, and it's all done electronically these days. So there's no thoughts of anybody maybe cheating or something. So, other than that, it was a great night.
Well, Joe, I guess the big thing would be, as we continue on this topic, at least for a couple more minutes, to give your son and his teammates his due. And, of course, Big Daddy getting his pat on the back on the air. And, folks, I say this in jest and also in seriousness, too. So, but, Joe, everything is about time. And you can go throughout. One thing about track, cross country as well, you go throughout the state, you can look at times, and yes, people can have a bad day, or a team can make a mistake on the handoff or mess up on the lanes, but when you look at their overall time throughout the state, as far as going into the state tournament, do they have a real opportunity to place? What is their situation? And Joe, you're not being a bad dad if you say, well, yes, they do, or yes, they don't. I mean, it is about times, and there's times out there that tell us this team is within a tenth of a second, or this team is several seconds off, and it makes a big difference in track.
Oh, yeah. And, the relay team, I haven't really looked at the other section, the other semis or regionals yet, so I'm not sure. But, there are some fast people. I mean, I know in the hurdles alone, there are some kids up in the Center Grove area that run about a 37. I mean, apparently Center Grove must have a good coach, because every year it's the same thing. They just have phenomenal teams. So it's just one of those deals.
Regardless, they're qualifying for something at the state level. It's awesome. And as I said, a guy can trip out of the blocks. He can trip over a hurdle. I've seen it over the years. A lot of things can happen. So mental preparation, and you just take it to just be your best physically that you can be, and you see what happens. But it's quite an accomplishment for Reed, both as an individual and with his teammates in the relay. So in all sincerity, I congratulate them. Also, folks, we've got high school baseball going on, and depending, if you're in the state of Indiana listening, we have listeners, of course, throughout the internet world, or earth, as you might understand with where our reach is. In Indiana, high school baseball sectional tournaments are going on, and we're affected in the southern part of the state because that's where the show comes out of, and I know Jasper's still alive. Some of the other teams that have played around the area, but Jasper, of course, has a very strong opportunity to continue forward in the state tournament, Joe.
Yeah, they're going to have another good one on Saturday. They play Southridge, another good team, and the other night against Ward, an outstanding pitcher for Heritage Hills. They had an exceptional night, and I'll tell you, it was fun to watch, and Austin Hollis just he hit two home runs, and there were no, they were both no doubters. I mean, at Lake Stadium, you know, and with that big, big, you know, that big park, that's a, those are impressive shots when they, you know, because those aren't just small little high school fences. That's a, you know, a really nice facility, and he just bombed too. But I knew in the first inning, the way they were hitting the ball, that, that we were going to be fine.
I know that Washington advances in the Class 3A at Honeyberg as well with a win over Mitchell. I did not see a score on Pike Central Vincennes Lincoln. Did you get a score on that, Joe?
No, I don't have a score on that one right yet. So I can check it out here in just a second. I'll get back with you.
I know, folks, that it was available, but I just didn't catch that this morning. Of course, we will see at Braun Stadium in Evansville, Memorial advances with a win over Boonville, and Mount Vernon won over Princeton. So they move on in that sectional. Softball sectionals have been completed in the state of Indiana. Tennis regionals, Jasper advances in the tennis regional. Evansville Memorial advances in the tennis regional. So there's, besides the NBA playoffs, besides Major League Baseball and the befuddling offense of the Cincinnati Reds, and Jeff Cochran was going to be on this week. We could not work that out. We're going to have him on next week to talk about the Cincinnati Reds and an offense that is just disappointing. I don't know how else to say it. It's disappointing. And but we'll talk about the Reds and the Cardinals and the Yankees a little bit later. Don Schultheis will be coming on to do our Who's Hot, Who's Not segment. Don was in St. Louis this week, a trip that I could not make. Don and my brother Ed went over. They got some great tickets to watch the Cardinals and the Yankees. And the biggest part of the trip was my brother Eddie is a Cardinals fan. My brother Don, contributor, Who's Hot, Who's Not, just loves to go to these events, and he likes the Yankees. But the big push was to go see Derek Jeter. Now, they'll tell you it wasn't, but it was. We're going to go over and see Derek Jeter. Ken, you're going to miss. Coach K, you're going to miss out on this trip. You're not going to get to see a legend play. Well, guess what? The legend didn't play. I had to coach a youth team in an EBA league. We did win the game, by the way. I did not make the trip to St. Louis to see the Yankees, and Jeter did not play. But the emotion was there, the thought was there, the hope was there. I know they had a great trip, and we'll ask Don about that before the Who's Hot, Who's Not segment. But I know they had a great trip and had a good time, and I know we are planning to head up to Wrigley Field as well. And I believe we're planning to go to Yankee Stadium to New York and watch the Yankees. My brother Ed's daughter is out in New York this summer doing some theater work. Hopefully she'll find her way somewhere onto Broadway at some point. But my point is this, is a great trip, but no matter what they say, they went to see the Yankee legend, Derek Jeter. He did not play. So that was tough. But, you know, the Yankees are going to have to start putting, and maybe they already do, folks. Maybe they already do. They need to put a schedule out when Jeter's going to be in the lineup and when he's not ahead of time so everybody knows. They probably do that. So, listeners, if you know that, you can let us know. As I said, a lot of high school stuff has been taking place. I know that the tennis program in Jasper, which is outstanding and has been for decades, now under Coach Scotty Yarbrough's tutelage, is purring and moving forward. Basketball coaching positions on the high school level, opening and closing. Southridge High School in DuBois County is still open. I'm under that impression. Frankfort High School in Frankfort, Indiana is open. The Frankfort Hot Dogs, beautiful arena up in Frankfort, and have had good basketball at different times. So we'll talk a little bit about the high school baseball, softball, track throughout the show. We may have some questions concerning those going forward. But we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. You know, Donald Sterling's camp. I don't know if they're together. His wife, his ex-wife, whatever she is, Shelley, I know that she has worked the deal with Steve Ballmer, former Microsoft CEO. He's the former Microsoft CEO. He retired a couple years ago. I think he's 55, 56. And he's happy to be retired. In fact, he had a quote the other morning. He said, "Hey, I don't have work anymore. It allows me to do a lot of other things that I want to do." Well, he retired. He's got about $19 or $20 billion. He is the largest shareholder, I believe, in Microsoft. And he has worked a deal. It sounds like it will go through. There's nothing guaranteed right now as the soap opera continues. Ballmer is going to pay around $2 billion for the Clippers. Folks, that's about $1.2 billion more than they were actually valued at. But I guess when you have $20 billion, and that's with a B, dollars, $2 billion or $1.8 billion, whatever the final number actually is, you know, folks, that sounds like a lot, but it's really just, it's all relative when you're talking about the B word, the billion word. And I certainly would have loved to have been in a position, and I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm not great friends with Steve Ballmer, and I wish I was. I would have loved to have been in a position to buy the Clippers or just to tag along as a good buddy of Steve Ballmer and help to run the Clippers. I couldn't imagine anything greater, Joe, than being able to run, if I can't coach on a college level, to run an NBA franchise. I think that'd be awesome. I think that would be wonderful, Joe.
Well, I'd enjoy it, and as long as it was the Pacers and I got courtside seats for free, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, maybe I don't want courtside seats the way some of these games went, but yeah, it would be a fun job. You know, anytime you work in that kind of business, I mean, but I'm going to tell people right now though that coach is a good talk show host, but he's a great coach, and someone needs to hire him. I'm just going to put that plug in right now. He can handle both doing the Coach K and Joe show and coaching a basketball team at the same time. And think about the publicity that your program would get.
You want something.
Going on a soapbox.
Figure out at some point what it is.
Going on a soapbox. No, there. So.
You know, the Steve Ballmer situation was the big news, but now we're hearing, Joe, and I don't know if you've caught some of these news items coming out yet. Now the Donald Sterling camp is saying that Donald Sterling is mentally diminished or mentally incapacitated. Obviously, the statements he made, you would expect them to come from either a very hateful, ignorant person or somebody who is having mental capacity issues. Now, here's the thing, and I've got two sisters who are attorneys, and I haven't had a chance to ask them, and I'm sure Lester Munson, who is employed by the mothership, would come on. I didn't get Dan Patrick's take on it yet. Now, Mike Greenberg, I know what he thinks. He wants to tar and feather Donald Sterling and burn a cross in his yard. That's just Mike Greenberg. He gets so emotionally caught up in things that sometimes he just can't see the forest from the tree. And you have to look at the forest in this situation. If Donald Sterling has diminished mental capacity, it has to be considered in the outlandish comments he made. Now, folks, if you've ever dealt with people who have gone through mental issues, dementia, Alzheimer's, onset of these diseases, then you understand what I'm talking about. It is a difficult and sad situation, and maybe there's some Maybe there's some reality to what they're saying out loud that they would have never said before. Maybe they think that way. I don't know. I've seen it firsthand, and it's sad. And I never look at that person and think, you know, they're bad, they're terrible. They really don't comprehend. Now, how do I say that changes things? Well, I think it changes things a little bit in the Sterling situation. Here they had this NBA franchise. Donald Sterling obviously wasn't the best person in the world, but I'll bet you if you went through every portfolio, every resume of the owners of those teams, you would find lawsuits, unhappy clients, unhappy business associates, if they own rental properties, unhappy renters. I mean, that is just the life of the world as we know it. Doesn't excuse Donald Sterling for the things he's done or said. But should it not be taken into consideration that Donald Sterling removed from the NBA forever, Donald Sterling no connection to the team, Donald Sterling no day-to-day NBA operations authority, and he wouldn't, especially if he's dealing with diminished mental capacity. The family itself could retain the Clippers because it's theirs, it's their property, and run it not through Donald Sterling because he's no longer capable of doing that, nor is he no longer able to do that. But they could run it they see fit. It doesn't look like that argument's going to happen, although I think it would be a legitimate one. And I think NBA ownership would have to take it into consideration as they got together because we're not talking about a person who has full mental capacity and possibly knew what they were saying. Now, you could say, Coach K, isn't this kind of lame at this point? Isn't this a ploy of the attorneys? Very well could be. It very well could be. But you know what? It very well could be the opposite, too, because a person like Donald Sterling, who's worth that much and who knows he's in the public eye, would he make those kind of comments otherwise? Would he have been leading the life he's led the last year or so, which was absolutely bizarre? It was bizarre how he was living, how he had changed the way he was acting. Now, publicly versus privately, we can beg to differ on a lot of that stuff. I'm not standing up for Donald Sterling. He needs to go. Either way, he needs to go. What I'm saying is it could bring in legal issues of the forcing of the Sterling family to sell the property that was theirs in the Los Angeles Clippers. And maybe some of those owners, just think about it. We'll go to break here in a minute, and you'll be able to think about it a little bit more. Think about the fact that maybe that's why some of the owners did not come out against Donald Sterling so strongly as Stephen A. Smith would have liked, as Mike Greenberg would have liked. Maybe they understood that they were dealing with someone who has some diminished mental capacity. I'm just putting it out there, folks. I am not in any way supporting Donald Sterling being given a pass. My point is, should the Sterling family and the right to own the Clippers a little bit differently? Like I said, it doesn't look like it's going to matter. It looks like his wife or ex-wife or whatever she is, nobody's really clear. I guess in a court of law, she's still his wife, has worked a deal with former Microsoft CEO worth $20 billion himself, has worked a deal to buy the Clippers, which a lot of people said would be valued around $800 million. Some said $700 million. What's $100 million here or there? He's going to buy them for $2 billion. Now, was he handpicked? Well, did Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, know about Ballmer and bring him into the fold immediately? I don't know. There's a great picture of Ballmer and and silver on the one of the internet sites today, talking. Either way, that's where we're at. But first, I just ask you to consider, if this diminished mental capacity claim is true, if he had the onset of dementia, Alzheimer's in some way, something like that, you know, folks, you have to look at it a little bit differently. I know for a fact that if you have diminished mental capacity, you cannot be held liable in a court of law for things you sign, agreements you make verbally or in writing. You're not. There may be an attorney out there that calls a show or sends a text and says, no, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Now, can you fight that in certain situations? I'm sure you can. You can. It's just like a lawsuit. People can sue for anything. They can sue for anything. That doesn't mean you're going to win. But in our society, the minute we hear lawsuit, we think guilty. We think, uh-oh, they're in trouble. But folks, they're in trouble in that they have to defend themselves for possibly something they didn't do. But you can sue someone for anything. There's plenty of attorneys out there that will, hey, I've got the shield out. You want to sue them because you don't like the way they dress? Come on in, I'll sue. You don't like because you're this guy doesn't want to hire you because you're not qualified? We'll still sue him. So you can sue for anything, but that doesn't mean you can win or that if you're being sued, you're going to lose. So this is an interesting thing going on. I think most people are happy that Donald Sterling will be out of the NBA, that the Sterling family will no longer own the Clippers if this goes through. And I'll tell you what I think more importantly. I think guys like Mark Cuban, who I like, and a lot of the other owners are happy that this thing is going on and getting done as quickly, because I don't think they ever wanted to go through the voting process, and they certainly didn't want it to be public. And I don't blame them. It shouldn't have to be public. They are a private group. They are an ownership group, and they shouldn't have to make that public. But they were being scrutinized by ESPN, who just goes overboard. Mike Greenberg had nothing to talk about. Stephen A. Smith, although he made some great points this week, had nothing else he could get on. But I want to know their vote. I want to know their vote. Why? As long as Donald Sterling's out, there may be reasons that you don't need to know about. There may be personal situations, business relation, things that you don't need to know about. So it looks like Donald Sterling's gone for sure. The Clippers are going to leave the control of the Sterling family. It is going to be interesting to see if any more plays out on this. But Steve Ballmer is $2 billion less in net worth, at least in the short term. We'll see what the next NBA contract and thing comes up. But $2 billion for the Clippers by Steve Ballmer. And, Steve, if you're looking for an NBA exec, I'm here. Coach K's here at the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Spurs, the Pacers, Oklahoma City, Miami Heat, and Lance Stephenson. So hurry back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I'll tell you what, sorry I wasn't at a computer a while ago. I apologize for anyone that's hearing noise today. I have every single Milligan home for a wedding this weekend, and the house has been kind of loud, so I've been muting myself from time to time. And I do am now at a computer, and last night in the sectional, Washington beat Mitchell 2-0, and Vincennes Lincoln beat Pike Central 10-3. So Washington and Vincennes will be playing at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and that'll be after the Jasper Southridge game at 11 o'clock from League Stadium.
Well, thanks for that update, Joe. And Joe, you did mention, and I know Kurt Gucksell has told me the same thing. Southridge has some pretty good pitchers, if I understand.
Yes, they do. They've got the Brewer kid. I'm not sure the whole staff, but I know the Brewer kid's a sharp lefty that does a great job. And you know, Jasper's got to come to play. There's no guarantees in that sectional. And you know, Vincennes doesn't have a bad team either. So you know, it's going to be a great road for the Jasper Wildcats if they win this sectional. I mean, as charted out as the basketball one was, sectional came the way you wanted it, Drew, this would probably have been the opposite draw, Heritage Hills, Southridge, then probably Vincennes. So you've got three strong teams that you're taking on. You have no gimmick to the championship game, and then to win the championship game, it's going to be a battle for everything.
Well, I think it will be, and I think it, as the weekend is here and you want to get out, and Joe, you always talk about getting out and watching high school sports. It's a great value and a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun at these baseball semifinals and final games, and none better than the 3A section taking place in Huntingburg at League Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be fun games. And Vincennes, Washington, you know, that's always kind of a rivalry there. So you got Southridge, Jasper, Vincennes, Washington, you know, in the semifinals, and then come back Monday, and whoever is left standing is going to be another fun game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of fun games, Joe, and both you and I are definitely fans, the Pacers found a way to beat the Heat and continue this series and at least take it back to Miami. And, folks, I just got a text message from somebody, and I won't say their name. It's not a big issue. They said, Coach K, it seems like you don't like Mike Greenberg. It's not that.
Was their first clue.
It's not that I don't like him. I think that he is so over the top on stuff. I think he's so quick to judge and put the hammer, not just give his opinion, but judge. And I have seen him time and time again refusing to accept anyone else's opinion, especially the big guy, Mike Golic, and maybe look that there may be other facts involved before he makes erroneous claims or condemnation or judgment. Now, folks, I understand that he's got a million people listening to him, and that, you know, who am I to say that? Well, I can say that because I listen to him and I have an opinion, and I watch him time and time again. And no matter what is being said, when it comes to Donald Sterling, the Clippers, the family, whatever it is, it's condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. There's no other avenue. There's nothing else to look at. That's just it. And if Stephen A. Smith, and I'm going to give Stephen A. Smith some applause here because he was, you know, he's one of those hype guys too. But if he wouldn't have come out and said, hey, Mark Cuban didn't say anything wrong, anything more than a lot of us think, whether we're black, white, Latino, whatever. He was just saying, these are some of my thoughts. I'm telling you, Mike Greenberg would have been all over Mark Cuban. But once Stephen A. Smith wasn't there to lean against, he kind of changed his tune. So it's not that I don't like Mike Greenberg. I listen to him. I watch Mike and Mike. I think they're a lot of fun. I just struggle when he puts the hammer down immediately on his judge. It bothers me. It bothers me. Now, let's get back to the Pacers. And again, Greeny was all over Lance Stephenson, Joe, because Lance Stephenson was they showed the picture of Lance Stephenson blowing in LeBron's ear. They showed him doing little things to bother LeBron James. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. This isn't participation basketball league, soccer league, football league, T-ball league, where you play and if you lose, they say, oh, it was a tie. Here's your trophy. This is for big money. This is for going to the NBA Finals. This is for reaching a goal, a dream. He didn't do anything illegal. If he did anything illegal, he would have been kicked out of the game or something else. Lance Stephenson saw that LeBron James was not on the top of his game, was not mentally keyed into this game. And he said, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to push some buttons here and see if they work. I don't think it was anything that anyone else hasn't tried to do, LeBron James. But in Indianapolis, it paid off. He found a way to help his team win, and it was by being a bother. He got to LeBron. Now, you can say, nobody gets to LeBron. Well, okay, LeBron let him get to him. But, Joe, if you watch the game, there's no doubt that LeBron had a chink in his armor that night, and you can't be perfect every night. Michael Jordan wasn't. Joe and I are. We're not. But he had a chink in his armor, Joe, and Lance Stephenson just kept digging and digging. And let's face it, it worked. It worked in the favor of the Pacers.
You know what? LeBron is supposedly the greatest ever and one of the highest paid. And, you know, if Lance Stephenson get under skin for the Pacers to win, oh, well, you know, you're a professional. You got to learn to stay into the game mentally. And I applaud Lance. And I applaud Lance for all the enjoyment I've gotten out of that in the last couple days of different pictures I've seen of Lance Stephenson blowing. And the one with he was blowing out a little girl's birthday cake this morning. Everybody had a lot of fun with that picture. But I'll tell you what, you know, if it bothers him, it bothers him, you know. I remember back way back in the Stone Ages when we played sports, you know, there were times, football-wise, where we try to get under someone's skin, try to get him thinking about something other than the game. And I think that's part of the game. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it. Now, I did read an article where Larry the Legend might have had a problem with him blowing in his ear, though.
Well, that's okay. That doesn't change my opinion at all, although Larry Legend is Larry Legend. And Larry would trash talk throughout the game. Everybody knows that. He did it inconspicuously, but he did it. But whether you're standing on somebody's feet so they can't jump cleanly, whether you're pulling on their jersey, whether you're pulling the hairs on their legs to bother them, it's been done for years. It's called gamesmanship. I don't care if you're one of these guys. No, you shouldn't touch anybody. You shouldn't talk. Just play the game. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody plays the game differently. And the great thing about the game is you can play it differently and it's still okay. Some people like Scott Rowland, who we respect tremendously, would hit a home run and he ran around the bases. Other people hit a home run, they put their hand up in the air, they jog around the bases. Guess what? People like Pepsi, people like Coke. My dad used to always says that. Well, Kenny, sometimes people, that's why they make Pepsi and that's why they make Coke. Some people like the different taste. And it's the same way in sport. But the bottom line, my point to those people who are on Lance Stephenson's butt, he didn't do anything wrong. It's gamesmanship. He saw a chink in LeBron's armor in Game 5, and he took advantage of it. And let me tell you something. The way they were hitting shots, not LeBron, he played horribly. We are lucky. We are fortunate as Pacer fans that he played the way he did. Because, you know, even on his last kickout, which I thought was the right move, he really had no shot. He kicked it out for a three, a shot that those guys have been hitting all night, big one. It didn't go in, thankfully. Roy Hibbert, you know, the run out, George Hill trying to go in and take a layup, can we question that? We can talk all about that. But in the end, the Pacers got the win, folks. And the Pacers are still alive. And they've got to go to Miami, and they've got to play Game 6. And I for one, don't mind it at all. From Dennis Rodman to Bill Laimbeer to you can go on and on with players who were able to make a difference in the game mentally. Mentally. Get under a guy's skin. They do things that change the mental or emotional flow of the game. I'm telling you, I don't think LeBron's going to play like that in Miami, but that doesn't mean the Pacers can't win on the road. The Pacers on the road have been able to get the lead against Miami. The key is holding on. And, Joe, let's give some applause to another player on that floor. You know, Lance Stephenson is getting a lot of the headlines and a lot of the talk on social media. But how about the play of Paul George in the fourth quarter, in the second half? It was phenomenal. He hit big shot after big shot. He got in the passing lanes a couple times. The Pacer defense, as a team, from about 5 minutes left in the third quarter through the fourth quarter with a difference in that game, but Paul George offensively looked like the player that everybody expects him to be, Joe.
He stood up and he was, you know, he's supposed to be our big gun, and he stood up and became and was our big gun, you know, and it was special to watch. I mean, he was just he was unconscious. I mean, it was fun to watch, and as fun as that was to watch, I'll tell you what. You mentioned that George Hill layup. Oh, my God. I was screaming during that. I was like, no. I could feel the clock running. And possession is so much more important than that stupid little layup. And I was griping at that. But as much as I was howling at him, I was howling the opposite way when Paul George, I mean, I think it might have been Rafe that was half asleep and came in to inquire to why his mom and dad in their bedroom were going crazy, screaming, yelling, and you know, so he didn't know what was going on, and he came to find out that Paul George was on fire.
He was phenomenal, Joe. He hit some turnaround J's with guys on him. They were phenomenal. He was aggressive with the basketball. How long has it been since we've seen, and I know it hasn't been months, but close, since Paul George has been that aggressive. And going in, if you go back to last week's show and the week before, when we talk about the Pacers, one of the things we talked about is Paul George needs to be aggressive with the basketball. And we were not talking about just more shots. We were talking about the way he attacks the basket, the way he puts pressure on the defense by hitting some shots, taking some shots, and forcing them to double-team, because we all know what the double-team does. It leaves other people open. So kudos to Paul George, to George Hill, other than the layup. And, folks, I got to tell you, I like Joe was. And this isn't after the fact. If he'd have hit it, I'd have still been like, wow, I'm not sure he should have taken that shot. Because you have possession. The clock is running. At worst, you're going to shoot free throws. And you're going to minimize the amount of time that they can go back down the floor and do anything. I don't think it was a smart play. Even in high school, college, even in youth hoops, folks, for those of you who have kids, when you get down under a minute and especially under 30 seconds, and you have the lead and the ball, you want nothing, nothing, unless you're standing underneath the basket and you get the pass and you just lay it in. And even then, I've told my own teams, no layup, nothing. I don't care if you have a layup, kick the ball back out. Make them foul. Use up time. You have the advantage. You have the ball. Clock is in your favor. But no matter what, we overcame the flopping by Shane Battier. And, Joe, it's funny how Pacer players get fined for flopping. Shane Battier flops 10 times a game. He grabs jerseys. He falls down. It's almost ridiculous how much Shane Battier flops in every game play.
Now, where did he play in college?
You know where he played in college. The Mecca,
I know.
At least the other than Kentucky, the other Mecca of hoop. And I'm telling you, people want to get mad at Lance Stephenson for talking, for pushing up, for making life miserable for LeBron when he saw a chink in the armor. Well, Shane Battier does it every single game, and he gets a pass all the time. You know what they say? Oh, he's such a smart basketball player. He's not a great jumper, but he's so cerebral on the floor. What? What? Why is Lance Stephenson not cerebral then? You had Bruce Bowen on ESPN saying stuff like, well, you know, Lance Stephenson's lucky. He's playing with such good players. Let me tell you something, Bruce Bowen. The Pacers are a much better team when Lance Stephenson is playing well. And you can say, well, that's for any team. No, 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 no. When Lance Stephenson comes out and he's aggressive and he's moving that basketball and he's playing that type of ball, the Pacers are a much better basketball team. Listen, the Pacers, more than the Heat, are the sum of their parts. I'll say it again. Bear with me, folks. The Pacers, more than the Heat, is the sum of their parts. They're individuals. They have to play together as a team, and they have to bring their specific abilities together with the team. Where Miami can, you know, if Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, they can carry Miami in a game, in a quarter, in a half. That's not true for the Pacers. Now, on the flip side, Joe, before we go to our next break, what about the Spurs in Oklahoma City? Isn't it kind of funny how the home court has played such a huge advantage for each of these teams?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, it's been kind of a tale of, you know, where are we playing tonight, and this is what's going to happen. And you know, I wish that we, meaning the Pacers, would have taken that kind of stock in home court advantage because, you know, we had the home court advantage and what's funny is every series we've put ourselves, taken that home court advantage away from ourselves by losing early. And hopefully, you know, it's all about Saturday night, you know. Or is it tonight? Oh, my God, is it tonight or is it Saturday night? I've got a wedding, so
no,
I'm kind
I think
of
it's Saturday.
Confused this week.
I think it's Saturday.
Okay, I thought it was.
But because, you know, first of all, you take a look at San Antonio, and I said from the beginning that I thought San Antonio would benefit, obviously, from a shorter series because of the age. Tony Parker has seemed to come back from whatever hamstring issue he might have had, and he's playing well. I just think the Spurs are the better team. Listen to what I said. I think the Spurs are the better team. I think that their experience and their team play and their system is their advantage. But what's so interesting is that it seemed to go out the window when they go to Oklahoma City. Now, having said that, Oklahoma City is a tough place to play, and there's no doubt that Oklahoma City thrives at home. There's just no doubt about it. And to have Ibaka back, even if he's not 100%, he makes a big difference down low when you have to play against somebody like Tim Duncan and that team. But still, on the road, you would have thought, well, Ibaka's back. Remember a couple weeks ago, Mike from Pittsburgh called in somewhere in Pennsylvania. He talked about Oklahoma City, and he thought, you know, having Ibaka out, would that be worse for Oklahoma City than maybe Parker out? And the first two games at San Antonio, it looked like that was a huge difference. But now the question is, was it really? Ibaka came back for the games at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City won the games, and it looked like Ibaka was the difference. But then they go to San Antonio, and folks, I don't know if you watched the game last night or not. I watched most of it. It, you know, after parts of the first half, San Antonio just controlled it. In the fourth quarter, it was 20 points with like 8-9 minutes to go. San Antonio had most of their starters sitting on the bench. Green was hitting threes from 35 feet. I mean, the home court has played to such an advantage in this series for point spread. And we're not talking about mop-up points at the end. We're talking about game over by the fourth quarter. So it's really interesting to see. It'll be interesting as they go back to Oklahoma City. Can the Spurs close it out on the road? I know they would like to. I know they would like to. But we're just going to have to see. You just don't know. But I think the shorter the series, the better for the Spurs. They got a lot of mileage on those legs, and they weren't riding horses. They got a lot of mileage on those legs. Joe, I don't know if you caught this. I don't know how many of our listeners saw this. I watched probably the greatest competitive matchup last night on TV. It was phenomenal. It was
and what would that have been?
Competitive matchup. They went down to the last of the last, and that was the Scripps National Spelling Bee on ESPN. Joe, we sat there. I was Scott, me, and my wife Janet. I think Paige was watching from a different TV. But it ended in a tie. They ran out of words. That's how good
it was. Did it really?
A seventh grader and an eighth grader, 13 and 14, they ended in a tie because they ran
wow.
out of words. So there were two champions. They both will get $30,000. They both will get a trophy. But, Joe, it was so competitive. The words that were being spelled just would blow your mind. A six-syllable word that I thought there's no way that this kid can get right. He spells it right. Tenoid, what was it? Tenoid was a word, and everybody's spelling it in my house. It turns out it has a Greek, it comes from the Greek language, and it started not with a T, with a C. It started with a C, and the kid got it right. I mean, it was just amazing to watch these guys compete. So you might be laughing and say, Coach K, what are you talking about? If you haven't seen, if you've never watched the National Spelling Bee on ESPN, it's on ESPN, Scripps National Spelling Bee, you've got to watch it. It's funny. It's competitive. It's nail-biting to see these guys walk up. In one instance, Joe, if you misspell the word, you're not automatically out. The one behind you has to, if you're still in the same round, he has to spell the word correctly. So the eighth grader misspells the word. So the seventh grader needs to come up, spell the word correctly, and he will not automatically win, but he will knock this guy out if he can spell two words in a row correctly. Well, he misspells, it was a three-syllable word, I believe. He put an A where an O should have gone. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I can't even believe with that kind of pressure, you know, people staring at you, your Greek origin, use it in a sentence. Is it an adjective? Is it a noun? Is there any other pronunciations? They give you like five pronunciations, and you're supposed to spell it. And he misses it, so they keep going, and they literally got down to where they had only two words left on the entire list to spell, which automatically causes it to be a tie. I don't know when the last time it's happened. Maybe one of our listeners do, but Joe, talk about great competitive TV.
Well, Coach, see, I never really, when I was in that age group, I was at Holy Family School, and we had world-class spellers like Janet Bartley, better known now as Janet Schultheis. You know, you knew you were never going to win. And I remember my eighth grade year, you know, you had to go through your class to make it to the, you know, the big Holy Family spelling bee. And a friend of mine back then, God rest his soul, Jeff Blessinger, and I got at the end of the line, and we told all the guys in the class, hey, let's all spell the word wrong in the first round. Won't that be funny? Well, what they didn't know is when they spelled the word wrong, we spelled our word right. And needless to say, we had 18 mad Holy Family eighth grade males staring at us. And we both got out in the second round, so we figured we better because lunch was coming up and we were going to be outside with those 18 people. But, you know, with all-star spellers like Janet Bartley Schultheis, there was no reason to try.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but as Janet would tell you, she was not an all-star speller last night, nor was Alex.
She was an all-star just about everything at Holy Family, so, you know, I just always include her in everything, so.
Well, I'm sure that it will be rerun on ESPN, one of the ESPN channels, and I encourage our listeners, watch it with your kids. I mean, it really is fun.
That would be.
And then we try to spell it, and I'm looking at my son, and I'm saying, if I have any dream of Scotty being in the National Spelling Bee, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, Joe, one thing that everybody needs to remember, these young kids, like your kids love sports, or other kids love math, or other kids love science, these young men and these young ladies, I should say boys and girls, they're in grade school. They love the spelling, the etymology of the word. They love that. They're going through. They're looking at Greek spellings and how that affects the spelling of the word and Italian and French. And one of the young men wasn't really good with French origin words. He was great with Italian and Greek and Russian, but he wasn't really good with French origin words. And I just looked at that. I thought, just how smart, how competitive, how wonderful these kind of events are. It doesn't have to be basketball, football, baseball, tennis, track, golf, soccer, lacrosse. It can be spelling. It can be science. It can be math. It can be English. It can be speech. It can be any of those things. So folks, it was great TV. I'm telling you. You talk about being on the edge of your seat. It really was. It was that much fun. You see these young guys, these kids, these boys, the age of our kids, Joe, and they have everybody in the nation watching them, and they've got a three-syllable word with French and Italian origin, and they got to be able to spell this thing. And it sounds a lot different than it is spelled. So it's just amazing to see them do it. Folks, we're gonna go to break here. Before we do that, let me mention the New York Rangers have advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals, Joe, and it looks like the L.A. Kings, if they can get the rest of their work done, will advance as well. And we should see an East Coast, West Coast Stanley Cup Finals. Isn't that the way it should be? East Coast versus the West Coast.
I know a lot of Chicago Blackhawk fans who are going to be on the ledge when that happens. But, you know, they really thought they were going back to the Stanley Cup Finals. But we'll see. Yeah, that would be interesting. L.A., New York. Yeah, you're right. West versus East.
Well, it would be. And if you remember, the person who first gave the L.A. Kings a little notoriety was the great one, Gretzky. The great Gretzky went from a Canadian team, the Edmonton Oilers, to the Los Angeles Kings and started to bring them into the public's eye. So be excited. You're right. Chicago Blackhawk fans aren't going to take it that easy, though. Let's go to break, Joe. Don Schulteis with Who's Hot, Who's Not will be calling in soon, and we'll be going to that Who's Hot, Who's Not with Don Schulteis. We'll also ask him about his trip to St. Louis to see the great Derek Jeter. And, of course, Derek didn't play, but we'll get Donnie's take on all that when we come back. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're done with the first hour, basically. We're going to be starting the second hour of the Coach K and Joe Show. Don Schulteis will be coming up with Who's Hot and Who's Not. And there will be a brief period where I have to transfer from one studio to a mobile studio, as I've got to take a short trip down the road, and we'll do that while the show goes on. We've talked about the NBA. We've talked about the Pacers having a chance. We have a chance, Pacer fans, to keep this thing going with Miami. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not going to be popular with Pacer fans before Don Schulteis joins us. I'm just going to tell you. Now, don't get mad. If you want to call the show and debate me, you can do that. Call us at 773-897-6325. I don't feel good about the Pacers winning in Miami. Now, those of you who are just Heat fans or regular NBA fans are saying, duh, Coach Schulteis, that's no enlightened thought. Well, it can be. This is a Pacer team that, regardless of what happened in Game 5 and getting the win in Indianapolis, folks, did you see for almost three-fourths of the game the struggle of the Pacers? I mean, we're talking about a Heat team that the greatest player in the NBA was probably no better than the average player in the NBA. And the Pacers struggled the whole time. And they caught fire with a couple of key defensive plays, and emotionally the crowd got back into it, and things went their way, and LeBron was not hot. But I just don't like the fact that the Pacers go through so many ebbs and flows through the course of a playoff game. The NBA, basketball in general, is a game of runs. I say it all the time. My family will quote me, yeah, Dad says it's a game of runs. Coach K, it's a game of runs. But in the NBA, you have to be able to make that run. And that's what concerns me about the Pacers. The Heat have proven they can make that run when the Pacers are up 20, up 15, up 17. But the Pacers have not shown in any consistency at all in the playoffs that they can make that run. And that's why going into Miami, I don't hold out much hope for the Pacers. I don't like that we have to hope that Miami's best player plays like a very average player, and we have to wait so long in the game to make a run. I don't think it's going to be that simple in Miami. So, folks, I don't feel real good about the Pacers' chances in Miami. I think the Pacers are a floor leader away. You heard me. I've said it for months. I talked to Slick Leonard about it. They are a floor leader away. Paul George, maybe he'll be that next year, but he's not this year. George Hill isn't. Roy Hibbert isn't. David West wants to be, but he just doesn't carry. He just doesn't have that. So the Pacers need to either figure out, will Paul George mature enough to become that floor leader, or they're going to have to go find one. They're just going to have to. But I'm not holding out much hope for the Pacers in Miami. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're talking about Game 7 in Indianapolis and what happened next Friday as the Pacers prepare for the finals, NBA Finals, or start the NBA Finals. I don't think that's going to happen. With us now is Don Schulteis with Who's Hot, Who's Not. Joe, cue that up.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not.
And we are here with one traveled. He went to see the legend Derek Jeter, but never got to see him play. But he's here with Who's Not. Who's Not. And he might not be hot today. Don Schulteis, our indie contributor. Welcome to the show, Don.
Coach K, we missed a great trip to St. Louis, and you're right. Derek Jeter did not make the lineup. And I was hot about it. Joe Girardi, the manager of the Yankees, leads my not hot list this week for snubbing us when we wanted to watch Derek Jeter on his farewell tour. So, Joe Girardi, you lead the list of not hot this week.
And you had a four-hour drive. It was a spur of the moment. Our brother Ed tried to rally us. I couldn't go. I had an EBA commitment, a youth team I was coaching, but you rallied. You made the four-hour trip. I was excited for you. I know you had a great time anyway, but when I heard Jeter was not in the lineup, I thought, he's got to be bitter.
No, it was a great trip, and, yeah, it is 4 hours here from Indianapolis, but it was worth it, and, boy, I tell you, there's not much like sitting in Cardinal Stadium watching two historic baseball franchises play on a great evening, drinking a couple of cold adult beverages and cracking those peanuts open. So I'll tell you, even though Derek Jeter didn't play, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you had a great trip. Let's talk about other than Joe Girardi. Who's hot and who's not?
All right, on the hot side this week, we have to pay tribute to one Ryan Hunter Ray, who wins his first Indianapolis 500. He's the first U.S. winner since 2006. And I'll tell you, Coach, he really stormed back because he was leading the race. And the IMS, or Indy Racing League officials, red flagged it. And they went into total stop and lined the cars up. He ends up coming out in the last nine laps, loses the lead, but through some phenomenal racing, gains the lead with two laps to go and beats Helio Castroneves for the win. So, Ryan Hunter Ray, this week you are hot.
And I join the crowd, Don, in chanting, USA, USA, USA.
Yeah, that was awesome. Now, on the other side, sticking with the Indy Racing League and the Indianapolis 500, James Hinchcliffe, you may have heard about this. He tries to go three wide in turn one. And I was listening to the race coach, and the announcers are yelling, there's no way, you can't go three wide. But he tries to go three wide in turn one after a yellow flag restart of the main, you know, green flag after a yellow flag. And Ed Carpenter, who was having a really solid day, was right up at the leaders of the pack. This was about 26 laps to go. He makes contact with Ed Carpenter's car, forces both of them into the wall. Coach, their day was done, both of them. And I have to quote Ed Carpenter because this is classic. He said, I think he forgot he wasn't in Indy Lights car anymore. And that's kind of the farm system for IRL. Like I told him, it was a stupid move. We had 26 laps left or whatever. It was just uncalled for. We both had good cars. To make a dumb move like that and take us both out stinks. So, James Hinchcliffe, I concur with Ed Carpenter. You are not hot.
And Carpenter was the pole sitter, correct?
He was for the second year in a row, and he had a chance to win that race with 26 laps to go. He was right up in the leading pack, so it was costly, and I think it was a rookie mistake or an inexperienced mistake by Hinchcliffe, who may have continued to suffer from getting, you may recall, he had a concussion in practice earlier in the week that he was cleared for the race, so maybe he was still a little woozy, Coach, and wasn't thinking
good
straight.
Good point, Don. We'll give him
all
a bail.
All right, on the other side, Coach. We're going to go to high school baseball and tribute to the fact that we're in the midst of sectionals. And I did listen to this show earlier, and I'm going to guarantee a Jasper sectional win this weekend. There is no way that they will be beaten by Southridge or whoever wins that Washington-Vincennes game. So you guys can talk and all you want about how good those teams are. Jasper is going to win the sectional. But on the hot side, one, Ash Russell. He's a junior high school baseball player for Cathedral who came off of a sophomore year pitching. He was 12-1. He was named the state's Gatorade Player of the Year as a junior, Coach. He's 8-1 this year with a .88 ERA. He's only got 8 walks in 49 innings along with 74 strikeouts. He has got a full ride to Notre Dame, and he'll probably be selected in one of the early rounds, just depending on how healthy he stays as a senior. But Ash Russell, baseball player, Cathedral High School, Indiana's Gatorade Player of the Year, you are hot.
Now, Don, has he got a variety of pitches, or is he just a heater? What's the story on it?
No, they tell me he's got three pitches. He's got the fastball, a curveball, and a slider. So he's got, and he'll probably develop more as he, you know, gets stronger. But I've also been told that he plays on a travel team in the summer, Coach, where they fly him in to play games, to pitch one game on a weekend, and then they fly him out. Isn't that bizarre?
Wow.
Crazy, but he's that good.
That's Steve Ballmer money.
Exactly. All right, on that not-so-hot side, one Mr. Tiger Woods withdrew from the U.S. Open on Wednesday as he suffers and tries to recover from his back surgery that took place over 3 months ago. Coach, it doesn't look real good for the Tiger. At a promotional event last week, Tiger said he still has not taken a full golf swing with a golf club, and he had no idea when he would be able to do that. So, Tiger, you are not hot.
Well, Tiger's controversial, but he makes the game interesting. I hate to hear this, but it goes back to, Don, what you and I both know. It doesn't matter what you think you have mentally, what you think you have talent-wise, you got to have your health. If your body isn't working for you in athletics, you're going to have some problems.
Exactly, and I do wish the best to Tiger, and he's made some poor choices in the past, but he is a phenomenal golfer, and I hope he can come back and and you know, just wind up his career on a high note, not have to limp out of the limelight as it looks like he might have to do now. But on the hot side, Coach, our alma mater's baseball team, you said it earlier in the show, IU baseball team wins the Big Ten tourney, going away and secures one of the top seeds in the country. Their season record's 42-13, but they finished the season, their last 38 games, 33-5. They are playing great baseball right now. They play IU. IU plays Youngstown State today, along with the game between Stanford and Indiana State. Indiana State secured, I think, the number 2 seed. So another Indiana school playing good baseball. But the four of them are in Bloomington, and I'll have to say the Indiana University baseball team, sorry, Joe, but they are hot.
And to remind our listeners, as Don just said, that regional is taking place in Bloomington. Those games start today. And, Don, if I'm not mistaken, Indiana State, the Trees, play around 2 Eastern, and the Hoosiers will take the mound somewhere around 7 or 7:30 Eastern.
Yes, at 7 p.m. tonight. And I'll tell you, for those listeners that are interested in watching some great college baseball, that new stadium at Indiana is phenomenal, and it would be very enjoyable evening to go out and support the Hoosiers. So I hope they can keep it going. It'll be fun to see them make a run, hopefully, to the College World Series. But a lot of luck has to fall into place along with good play. But it looks like at least they're at the top of their game, or at least they have been. All right, on the not-so-hot side, Coach, this is a little bit off the sports beat, but I had to include it because listen to this. A 19-year-old named Daniel Calhoun of Sahomich, Washington, told police after being arrested that he caused a 3-car crash while trying to hold his breath while driving through a tunnel in northwest Portland. The tunnel is 772 feet long, and if one goes 55 miles per hour, it would only take 10 seconds. Coach, Daniel could not even hold his breath for 10 seconds without passing out. He passes out, his car swerves out of his lane, and causes this 3-car pileup. Nobody, thankfully, was really hurt bad. But Daniel Calhoun of Sahomich, Washington, you are ice cold, not hot. I mean, you've heard of people trying to do that. You know, kids will say, I'm going to hold my breath as we try to go through the tunnel. But here's a 19-year-old, I guess I'll call him a kid, trying to do that and causing a wreck. Oh, my goodness.
Crazy.
He's
crazy.
All righty. Back on the other side of the hot. I will say this, and this is the last I'll talk about the Indy 500, but I have to give a shout-out to the IRL, the Indy Racing League, for red-flagging the race with 9 laps to go, Coach. And it caused Ryan Hunter-Reay to be put in a tough position with everybody stopping their cars. But I'll tell you, it created a much more fan-friendly and exciting race to the finish. And I'll tell you, they restarted the race with 9 laps, and I think everybody was on the edge of their seat trying to figure out who was going to be able to get into the lead and keep that. So I hand it to them. This is the first time they have red flagged a race, and a red flag means they actually stopped the race, not being attributed to weather. I think it goes back into the early 1970s when they had a terrible wreck that ended up killing a race car driver. So IRL trying to jumpstart their sport again, keep it exciting. You are hot. for making the top call in the race.
Don, I have to tell you, talked to so many people and on social media as well that thought this was just one of the best, one of the exciting Indy 500 races as far as what you just talked about. It kept what looked like, well, there are many years where you just know what the final winner is going to be, and it kept everybody on the edge of their seats. And what did it end up, the second closest race, something like that? Just phenomenal. Great job, Bob.
Yes, and there wasn't a yellow flag in that race till lap 149. So they were going up until that time. They were averaging over 212 miles per hour going around that oval. And to do that for that long, I mean, there was a lot of good racing. And I think it's just great for the sport, and I hope to see the Indy Racing League, gain some of its luster back, because it's kind of taken a beating here in the last, 10 or 15 years. So anyway, rounding out my not hot, and then I'll have one left on the hot side. But you talked about a coach. You talked about this guy, LeBron James. You talked about Lance Stephenson. But I'm focused on LeBron. He made my hot list, I think it was last week. But this week, LeBron, who in game five really struggled, got into early foul trouble, ended up only having 7 points, 2 rebounds in a 93-90 loss to the Pacers, which is obviously our game, and they'll be playing tonight at 8:30. But the insult to injury, coach, is on the international stage of the NBA playoffs, you've got one Lance Stephenson, who is caught blowing in LeBron's ear. And I'm not quite sure if that really got to LeBron or not, but, to me, it's just insult to injury on a very difficult night. And I hope that doesn't wake up the bear in him. But this week, LeBron, on your kind of pitiful performance and being, had a pass by Lance Stephenson of him blowing in your ear, you are not hot.
And Don, I'm the same way. I just think that it was a bad night all the way for LeBron. And I think Lance did get to him, just irritated him enough to keep him from ever refining his focus.
Absolutely. And rounding out the hot and not hot segment of this show this week, Coach, I think this is awesome. Division III Wisconsin Whitewater, the Mighty Warhawks, became the first school in the history of the NCAA that won the national championship in football, basketball, and baseball this past year. To the Mighty Warhawks of Wisconsin Whitewater, they're Division III. I should mention that. But still, phenomenal job to win the Big Three in one school year. You are red hot.
The trifecta, Don Schulteis, and that is phenomenal, and that makes them worthy of your show ending, Who's Hot. Now, Don, you've been on, if people don't know some of the things you've been involved in, but you've been on the financial side of things in Wall Street, and of course it's come out that Steve Ballmer, former CEO, retired at 55, has decided to purchase the Los Angeles Clippers, not for the stated value of $700-900 million, and Sterling only paid $18 million for it back in 81 or 83, something like that, but for almost $2 billion. I mean, you've been around that world of finance. Just your quick thoughts on the word B and Steve Ballmer.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, the highest NBA franchise to be sold was just a few weeks ago, the Milwaukee Bucks was sold by ex-Senator Herb Kohl to a group of former hedge fund and Wall Street financiers for $550 million. That was the largest price tag on any NBA franchise. Now, granted, these don't get bought and sold every year, so it's been a while since we've had that. But to put this one in perspective, the only other franchise to be sold at a higher price was the L.A. Dodgers last year or 2 years ago at $2.1 billion. That's mind-boggling. And I would say that we're either looking at a top in the markets here somewhere, because that is a lot of money, and to be able to get that. Now, granted, the Clippers are a large market team being in L.A. They've probably been under-marketed. But he's going to have to put a lot of money in to get this thing going. But the great thing about Steve Ballmer is, as you pointed out earlier on the show, he's got a lot of money. So I don't think this was a transaction done from an investment standpoint. I think it was done because he wants to own an NBA franchise, and he's got the money to do it. So I wouldn't have done it, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with Steve Ballmer's investment, if you can call it that, in the Clippers.
Well, you know, the one thing he could do, Don, is once he takes controlling interest, he could sell some interest or bring some other money guys in and give them smaller interest in the franchise if it can clear all the things it needs to clear. But $20 billion, he's got $20 billion, and if Microsoft shares go up in the future, he's got more than that. But great stuff, Don. Thanks for being on the show. Any parting shots for us before you head into your weekend?
Parting shots? I don't know. I mean, I think it was pretty lame of you not making the trip to St. Louis. You could have handed the reins over to a veteran coach and one Ed Schulteis joined us over there, but you didn't. But you may have made the right call, given that they cheated us out of Derek Jeter. And Joe Girardi is on my list. It's not on the hot side.
Great stuff, Don. Thanks for being with us. Joe Girardi, you better watch out. You've got a Schulteis on the back of you. And the Coach K and Joe Show will not forget it. But you can make it up, because if we do make that trip to New York City, Derek Jeter better be in the lineup. And then, Joe Girardi, you will be on Don Schulteis's hot list. Folks, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Joe's going to start with the show. I'm making my transition into my mobile studio. We'll see if you hear from me. If not, be blessed and have a great weekend. Otherwise, you will hear me back maybe a little bit later in the show. We got 30 minutes to go with Coach K, Ken Schulteis, Joe Milligan. We're going to break. You're listening, and my gosh, aren't you lucky? It's almost like you're worth $2 billion. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325.
Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, hopefully to be joined soon by the Coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Wanted to just a couple housekeeping things here. Number one, Don, I'm sure you're listening, and Reed Milligan must be hot because he was there Monday, and he got to see Derek Jeter play. So Derek Jeter did play on Monday. So just wanted to clarify that to you. Couple of things. We've got the Jasper girls tennis team is going to be playing in the semi-state this weekend. You know, Coach Yarbrough does a great job. That team just always just reloads every year. There's no such thing as rebuilding when you talk about the Jasper girls tennis team. And in the boys bracket, I wanted to also go over some of this here. We've got the sectional at Evansville Bossy. And the first round, Evansville Memorial defeated Boonville 5-2 in opening round action. Mount Vernon defeated Princeton 8-5 in also the second game. And they will meet at 5:30, about 5:30 actually tonight. They will be Evansville Memorial versus Mount Vernon, and then that will be followed by the bye game, Evansville Bossy taking on Gibson Southern, and the winners there will play on Friday at 2 o'clock. In 4A action, we've got at the Evansville Wright sectional, we've got Evansville North defeated Evansville Central in opening round action. Now Evansville North will be taking on Evansville Wright, and that game, they will take on the winner of Evansville Harrison versus Castle. So a couple of housekeeping things there, just going over a couple of sectionals, waiting for Coach to get back. We do have some Coach K mailbag questions. Maybe I'll just ask one myself, and so I will, because there's one here that I think I can answer as good as Coach, and we'll get Coach's opinion once he gets here. We've got a first question is, does Jasper have some of the best athletic facilities in Indiana? Not traveling throughout Indiana extensively, and I'm sure Carmel and some of those schools have some phenomenal places. You know, we've got the brand new Jasper Gymnasium, which is top notch. You've got the Ed Yarbrough Tennis Center, which is top notch, and you know, the baseball team has their own facility. And some people may not realize, but the softball team also has opened up their own facility. So that's kind of opened things up, you know, as far as, you know, giving them a place exclusively that is theirs. I know my wife is the volleyball coach, Liz Milligan, and she was asked if volleyball team would be building such facility. But with everyone moving out into their own facility, her opinions have been, you know, she's got her own spot, so she really doesn't need to move anywhere. She's fine where she's at. So, Coach, you with us still, or? It looked like he was on. I guess he was not on, still not on. We will go through the, you know, the Indiana Hoosiers will be having the Bloomington Regional starting today. And in game one action, you've got Stanford versus Indiana State, and that's at 2 o'clock. That'll be starting in about 2.5 hours. And you can catch that game on ESPN3, and that will be followed by Indiana versus Youngstown State at 7 tonight, and that you can also catch that on ESPN3. So, you know, if you want to watch the game,
Joe, will you be watching?
If you're too late, you know what?
I enjoy
watching the College World Series and the regionals. So yes, I'll probably tune in to ESPN3. You know, with the ease of things, you know, with the Watch ESPN app, you can virtually watch sports even when you're in your car. Sometimes my wife's not happy because she drives while I watch what I need to watch, but I don't miss it.
I might just add to that, Joe, that when you're in your car, as I do, because I want to listen to the Who's Hot, Who's Not again, or listen to past shows, the Coach K and Joe Show, I mean, it's available.
Yep, go to iTunes and just put in Coach K and Joe Show. Actually, when we were driving to Reese's basketball tournament this weekend, I put an episode on for Liz because she doesn't get to listen to it because she's usually babysitting study halls. And she got to listen to it. She enjoyed it. I plugged it right into the car, and it was just like it was on the radio. It was a great thing for her.
I've got the podcast icon, as several listeners do. In fact, they're the ones that got me going on it. I've got the icon for the podcast right on my phone. As soon as I hit the car, or if I want to listen to the show to just see what we did, where we can improve, I hit that icon. Pops up all the shows immediately, and I pick the ones I want to listen to. If I want to listen to when Don Fisher was on the show, when one of the Zellers were on the show, when Slick Leonard was on the show, Kyle Nedenrip, Tom Dienert, whoever it might be, Mike Berger from Glory Days, whoever it might be, or if I'm just lonely, I haven't heard your voice in a while, then I pull it up so I can listen to Joe.
That's great. So I'll tell you what, we're going to start this. Okay, take a deep breath. Ready?
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
Now, Coach, you might have missed this because you might have been off air for just a little bit. I did point out that Reed Milligan went to the St. Louis Yankees game on Monday, and he got to see Derek Jeter play. So, and actually, he was two rows behind. His aunt bought him some tickets. He's a major Yankee fan, and he actually carried on a brief conversation with who is his sports icon, his sports hero, and he hasn't stopped talking about it. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to him.
Well, I applaud him. So Joe Girardi is on his hot list, but he's going to the state and track, so he deserves that, I guess. But Don Schultheis is not happy. You could tell there was bitterness in his voice. And Joe Girardi, I'm telling you are not hot.
Well, he wasn't happy a couple of years ago because he went to the Reds-Yankees game, and they had a doubleheader. And guess what they did the second game? Rested most of the regulars. he was not on his hot list 2 years ago, I can tell you that. But okay, I've got some questions here for the Coach K mailbag. I'm going to ask you this first one. Do you think Dale Earnhardt Jr. could go to the Indy 500 and be successful? I don't know. I wouldn't be able to answer that because I don't know the ins and outs of both races.
I don't know if he could or not. I think the race, as much as there's similarities, there's a lot of differences. You know, we say, well, Danica Patrick went to NASCAR and she had been successful. Well, folks, honestly, she wasn't successful at the Indy 500 either. But I don't know. I think there's a certain mentality that goes along with that type of racing. I think the cars are different. The tracks are different. The fact that they do run the Brickyard at the Speedway would give him some familiarity with the track. But I just think it's a different animal. And if it was that simple, the Jeff Gordons, the Jimmy Johnsons, the people like that would go ahead and do both races. But you know what I think the biggest reason might be, Joe, and for our person who asked the question, they make a lot more money in NASCAR. They have a lot more fan base, a lot more corporate sponsorships. It's just a bigger entity. Indy racing isn't that way anymore. It used to be, but NASCAR just blows it away. So if you're going to race, if you're going to take a chance on getting injured, do it in NASCAR. It's just worth more money to you.
Okay, and next question comes from all it says is Heat fan in Evansville, Indiana. I didn't know we had any of those in Evansville, Indiana. Lance Stephenson's antics were ridiculous. As a Pacer fan, can you condone such conduct?
I not only condone it, Heat fan, I applaud it. And it sounds like you're a Heat fan who's a little hot around under the collar. Lance Stephenson, you know what I say in the playoffs? Same way in the state tournament, anything you do. There's no tomorrow unless you win. You do what you've got to do to win. You do what you got to do to win. And whether what Lance Stephenson did had any effect on LeBron James or not, it was legal. We're talking about it. And the Pacers live to play again. So, Heat fans, settle down. Get ready for game 6. The Pacers and Lance Stephenson are coming to town. I hope you focus on him the most, and Paul George goes off on you guys.
Okay, next question. Reds are pathetic. What do we have to do to turn things around, a la the Dodgers last year? I want to point out, I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm not. There's no we. That wasn't me saying we.
You know, I don't know. You got to hit the baseball. Last night, I was watching some of the game with the Diamondbacks, and Todd Frazier was batting second. And Todd Frazier's, he's a versatile player for him. He's done a nice job. But Billy Hamilton finally gets on base, and Billy Hamilton's biggest threat is he can steal base point in his young career. He doesn't get on base that much. And Jeff Cochran can talk to us about it maybe next week. But Todd Frazier steps up there, and he swings at the first pitch that comes his way. He hits it was a screamer up the middle, but it wasn't a dead-eye screamer. Guy picks it up, second baseman throws the shortstop, double play, two outs. My question to any player would be, you've got your biggest threat on the bases up. It's the fourth inning. It's 1-0, something like that, 2-0. You got a runner. You're going to see more than one fastball. And first of all, Todd Frazier, ball hitter. In fact, the pitch he swung up was high in the zone, and he almost got a base hit out of it. But my point is, Joe, and you're the baseball guy. I've coached a little in the younger kids' leagues. I love baseball, have since I was a little guy. But why would you go up and swing at the first pitch if you've got a threat on the base path that doesn't get on very often? So I think more than timely hitting, we're going to have to talk about the Reds' overall approach at the plate, whether it's Jay Bruce, who's back in the lineup, Phillips, Frazier batting fifth or second, Billy Hamilton getting on base, whatever it might be. Of course, Joey Votto is injured, and I'm afraid he's going to have a career like that, and they're going to pay him $200 million to do it. The pitching for the Reds has been winning baseball pitching. The hitting has been non-existent. I saw an interview with Brian Price, the manager of the Reds, after the game, and I could really see the tension and stress. It's his first year as a manager, and when it's your first year, things get to you a little bit quicker, maybe a little bit sooner than it does to a veteran manager. I would ask Brian Price, if we were sitting here talking, I'd tell him, relax a little bit. It's still only May. It's a long season. A lot of things can happen. You're a young head coach or manager of the team from an experience standpoint. Don't let it take control of you too quickly, because your players will start to feed off of it. This is a good team. It's a good Reds team. And the division they're in, at any point, things could fall apart for the guys ahead of them. So hang in there. Hitting will come. You may have to manufacture some runs, but hitting will come.
Okay, we have next question is regarding a very stellar program in the area. Jasper Tennis has always been a powerhouse under Ed Yarbrough and now his son Scott. How did they stay a powerhouse every year?
Well, I give a lot of credit to Coach Yarbrough for this. When they didn't have the facilities, they didn't have any issue with players going up to French Lick to the tennis pro or down to Evansville to the tennis pros. Their ego didn't get in the way. They knew that there were some limitations in facilities in Jasper and some limitations in maybe what they could spend time teaching the young men and young women, boys and girls, teenagers, and even younger. And so they encouraged those players who could, and in Jasper, there are a lot of families who can afford to do that. And they would send them down to Evansville, send them up to French Lick, and over time, year in and year out, kids who are not big football players, baseball players, tennis, basketball players, they were playing tennis. They found their niche. When the coaches had the facilities, they expanded their camps. They are fortunate they were able to raise the money for an indoor facility. At one time, Jasper had a bubble before this. So I think the one thing I would give to Coach Ed Yarbrough and to Coach Scott Yarbrough, they don't let their egos get in the way. They run the tennis program where they have expert help for their players. They let it happen. But when it comes practice time for Jasper tennis, or it comes pairing or singles for game or tennis matches, they run the show. And Memorial has that same type of tennis approach. A lot of those kids don't get their teaching from their tennis coach. They get it from the pros at Tri-State, different places in Evansville. I think the lack of ego bodes well for the tennis coaches and their program, and that's why I think Jasper Tennis and Jasper Golf are consistently successful, and you would know that with Coach Steve Milligan with Jasper Golf.
Okay, two more questions. Our next writer writes in that he wants to know your IU baseball predictions for this weekend. I'm sure, Coach being a homer, I'm sure I know the answer.
Well, what are yours?
I'm predicting Indiana State stands up and takes it all because I can't IU. So.
No. Indiana State. I hope they advance as far as they can advance till they run in to the cream and crimson of IU, the Hoosiers. And once that happens, it's all IU. You know, Joe, if nothing else, Hoosier baseball has shown not just the ability to win this year, to put out solid pitching, but they've shown timely hitting. Their hitting has been timely. It's not necessarily been inning in and inning out, but just like in the Big Ten tournament, it just was the big inning. They got base runners. They moved them around. They took care of what they needed to take care of. So I'm pretty confident that the Hoosiers will move on. And, folks, if you get a chance, as Don Schulte said, we talked about earlier on in the show, get out to Bart Kauffman Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana, and watch the Hoosiers. Hey, the Hoosiers and the Sycamore fans have a lot to be proud of. Face it, Indiana State, Joe, as you know, has always had a great tradition of baseball. They hit a couple lean years, but it looks like they're back where they need to be. Indiana, of course, has been a budding program under their manager, their coach, their skipper, and they are now a national team and have been for a couple of years now. Hopefully it will continue. So I'm picking the Hoosiers, and I'm picking the Wildcats at Southridge. I'm picking Mount Vernon at Braun Stadium, and not sure who else. I think Dubois and Tecumseh. Did Dubois win last night, Joe?
Dubois got defeated by Tecumseh.
Okay. So, and did you mention the semi-states and tennis where they'll take place or anything like that?
I did not have that pulled up. I mentioned that they were going to, but I've got the IHSA website pulled up, so let's take a look at that real quick. I do know. I was going to ask you this question. I know Memorial's in it, and you know, looking at tennis records, it said Memorial was undefeated. Do you know anything about that team? Are they?
Yeah, they're really good. Memorial's really good, but I think, and I could be wrong, tennis coaches get some changes done in the IHSA where, you know, before you got beat, you didn't advance. Now multiple teams are advancing out of the semi-state. I'm not sure. I may be incorrect.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
It seems like it's one of those deals where some of these coaches got tired of losing at the semi-state level, and I think Memorial was winning a lot of those semi-states, and they got some changes done. I don't know. I could
now the way this looks to me, Evansville Memorial is taking on Bloomington North, but it does not show that bracket continuing down to take on Jasper versus Floyd Central. Maybe this is a one-team semi-state where this is just a one-team semi-state. They're both at Jasper. I guess that's why I thought maybe they would play each other. But the way it looks to me is maybe that the winner of Memorial and Bloomington North will be playing in the state finals, and the winner of Floyd Central and Jasper will as well.
Yeah, it seems like they've made some changes or some adjustments. It's a little different. But either way, congratulations and good luck to all those teams competing. Joe, I kind of jumped in. Do we have any more mailbag questions?
Well, I'm going to ask you this last one because I was answering it, but I know I can name you Jasper's facilities, and I think they're nice, but I can't compare them to people throughout the state. It said, does Jasper have some of the best athletic facilities in Indiana?
Oh, no doubt.
I've
been all over the state. You know, if you take Jasper's facilities as a whole, you're not going to find anything better. There are some that rival. Chesterton High School up north has some magnificent facilities. There are some Indianapolis schools with magnificent facilities. You know, I've been to several Indianapolis schools and outlying county or township schools that have the multiple facilities that a Jasper has. But when Jasper added the multiple indoor courts, basketball courts with the track, and then through the insurance settlement, a new basketball arena, you've got the middle school facilities, the tennis courts, the football stadium, which is as good as any, the weight room, the baseball, softball facilities. Nobody has anything than Jasper. Do you need all that to win? I don't know that you do. Most schools that I know that are winning do it with whatever facilities they have. But it's nice to say we have all these facilities. It's nice for your kids and your fans to get a go and compete. It does give you an advantage in the beginning with intimidation factors and workouts. But in the end, your kids have to use them. Your kids have to practice. Your kids have to compete. And I can name you a bunch of schools right now that don't have those facilities, and they are winning year in and year out. Sometimes, Joe, sometimes those facilities can be a disadvantage because it's too easy, it's too simple, and the kids don't work as hard. But, yes, the city of Jasper should be proud of its athletic facilities, its town, its homes, its school. They try to do it first class. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I know with tennis and baseball and softball having their own facilities now, you know, they've got their own field houses. Liz was asked, was volleyball going to do that? And she just kind of laughed because with everyone moving out, she doesn't have any reason to move out because, you know, there's so much court space available now, you know, to use, you know, that you really don't need to have anything like that. And that's what's kind of helped, you know, with opening up some of the court time is the other sports having their own facilities. Now, I do want to point out one thing. I've had a couple of out-of-town Jasperites. I call them out-of-town Jasperites, even though I moved here in fourth grade, bring up Alumni Stadium and how we maybe need to replace Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium. I don't think they realize that, you know, it would be like to those of us that are from Jasper, and actually those of us who played for Jasper, it's like telling a Cub fan they need to replace Wrigley Field. I just want to go and talk for a minute that we do not need to replace Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium. I think it's a hallowed place that's I consider it being a football fanatic. I am sacred ground. So, I don't think we need to be worried about a new facility.
I agree with you 110%, and I would tell those people they don't get it. And it's also would be a waste of school funds and taxpayer money and building fund money. If you want to replace the stands, replace them. No reason to change. It's its own iconic facility in its own part of town. It's not that far away. It keeps that part of Jasper, which is a traditional part of the school history. It keeps it vibrant. It keeps it involved. It is a football facility now with the baseball fields moved away and all that. Come on, folks. You've got a beautiful track. You've got a excellent natural grass field, if that's what they want to keep it. There's no reason to relocate it. There's no reason to change that. You can change the bleachers if that's what you want to do. But on Friday night, on playoff night, hey, that part of town, that's football town. That's its own little football bill. At Jerry Brewer Stadium, it's its own little football facility, football. I call it football town. It's its own little football town. And I would encourage Jasper School Board members, Andy Novlett, not to give into that kind of talk. It's ridiculous. It absolutely is. Those are the same kind of people that walked in, Joe, and said, tear down Cabby O'Neill Gym. It's not worth it. Look at it now. Beautiful part of history.
Yep.
A beautiful facility, and it doesn't cost much to maintain it, and it didn't cost much to revive it. So that's ridiculous. That should never happen.
Yeah, when I heard that from a couple people, I laughed, and those of us that are going to be Jasper fans for the rest of our lives, a lot of us took a little bit of an exception to that discussion because, I mean, you know, people even were talking about how we maybe needed to have a study done. I'm like thinking, why would you waste the money? Because there are those of us that it would only happen over our dead body to worry about something like that.
And what would the study
so.
Be? What would the study
yeah.
be? I want chair backs? Who cares?
Well,
put them in.
I think with the new park, you know, that new the country club facility that I think the school might be buying some of that. I mean, I've even had people say they need to move the baseball out there, and I just laugh. It's like Ruxer. What is wrong with Ruxer Field? You know, people. But I always get the same thing on Alumni Stadium and Ruxer Field parking. Guess what? Do a little cardio.
Ridiculous.
Walk a few extra blocks. So
ridiculous. I say ridiculous. Leave those iconic places alone. That's where the history was made, and they are beautiful facilities. If you've got the money to move those stadiums, then you've got the money, which will be a lot less, to put into those stadiums as they exist and update them, make them a little fancier if that's what you want to do. Joe, you better take us home.
Okay. Well, Coach, as I always say, you know, let's go out and enjoy high school sports. There will be some sectionals and baseball sectionals going on. Other than that, there's not a whole lot going on, but you can watch IU on ESPN3 at 7 o'clock tonight. And also, Coach, the Pacers play tonight at 8:30 in Miami. Indy correspondent Don Schulteis texted me and told me we were wrong. And, you know, we're not wrong very often, but we were then. So, but for Coach K, this is Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week, Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.